Martin Zender speaking to you once again from the front of the microphone instead of the back of the microphone. It works much better. Yes, it does. The front of the microphone, designed to be spoken into. Learn as I go here, folks. Learn as I go. This is Martin Zender, and right after this show, I am driving to see Ann Brechtelsbauer again. And then, remember Ann in... Let's see, where's Ann again? Oh, yeah, Pinehurst, the golf town, right. Going to go see her and then heading to Faith. So getting in some visits here with some dear saints. And thanks again to Ed and Joy Smelzer, who opened their home to me, and we had some great fellowship yesterday. And looking forward to the fellowship in Faith, that's for sure. So we're in Ezekiel chapter 37, and we're talking about the lost 10 tribes and how God brings people to the end of their ropes. And I want to quote verse 11, and I thought of an example yesterday as I was driving around here. I'm going to give that to you. He said, "Son of man, these bones," this is the prophecy of the valley of dry bones. Bones aren't enough, they got to be dry. "Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up and our hope has perished. We are completely cut off." Completely cut off. That verse kept rattling around in my brain yesterday, and I thought of Israel coming out of Egypt at the Red Sea. They're cornered. They're stopped by this giant body of water, and they have these angry Egyptians, very, very angry, very ill-tempered, and an army, mind you, breathing down their throats. They turn around, there's water. Talk about our expectation being cut off. And what does God do? He does the unlikely thing at the last possible moment. Keep that in mind. At the last possible moment. It helps to know that. Now, over the years, it'll be 20 years on October 1st that I've been doing this full time. And God, over these 20 years, it's been harrowing at times, it really has, you know, especially financially, but also emotionally. And I had some grand visions about this job before I started. It's like the guy who said, you know, I once had six theories about child rearing and no kids. Now I have six kids and no theories. Yeah, well, that's me. I had ideas about how this job would be. Then I started the job. Now I got no ideas. I only know facts, and that is, it's not a bed of roses. God has never painted a rosy horizon for me where I can see ahead financially months at a time. So it's always been when I need it, he gives it to me. A great example I read from Corrie Ten Boom. She gave the example of her father when he used to, they used to board the train to Amsterdam. This was a little anecdote her father reminded her of when Corrie was going through hard times and the family was going through hard times. He said, "Corrie, when we boarded the train to Amsterdam, when did I give you your ticket?" She would say, "Right before we got on the train." And he said, "Right. That's right. God does not give you the ticket that you will need until right before you get on the train." That's why your imagination, this is why I like to say, God will not protect you from your imagination. People imagine so many horrible things that never happen. And you wonder, how can you deal with it? If this happened, if I lost my child, if I lost my wife, if everybody paints these terrible scenarios, and what does it do? Your body starts to secrete worry juices, adrenaline, lactic acid. It starts to tear down your body and you start to worry, but nothing's happening. Nothing is actually happening. Reminds me of The Matrix, the movie The Matrix. Not that I saw the whole thing. I'm not too keen on sci-fi, but I know the concept of it. You're hooked up and you're living something that's not really happening. And they say that people can actually die in their sleep from having terrifying dreams. There, have you ever seen your dog taking a nap? That dog's crazy. It's panting. Its legs are moving like it's running. It's shaking. It's bouncing up and down, and it's laying on the floor. But it's having some dream, like it's chasing a wildcat or something, a conquering, Godzilla. I don't know. So it's the same with worry. It's the same with anticipating things that never happen. God is not going to give you what you need until you're ready to board that train. So there's no sense thinking about it, is there? There's no sense anticipating how bad something's going to be, or what happens if my parents die, or what happens if my mother or father get Alzheimer's. What happens? You know, there's enough evil today, Jesus said. Sufficient unto the day is the evil. And so take no thought for the morrow. Why? Because when you impose yourself into tomorrow, into the next day, you're going to worry about it. This is where I envy animals. Animals only live in the moment. They don't worry about what's coming. I mean, I'm not saying animals don't have bad lives. They do. It's rougher, those animals. But they don't mull over the past. And they don't worry about the future. For them, it's all about now. And that's actually how we're supposed to be. So God wouldn't really make a move for me financially until I was in the straits. I was right up against a bill, electric bill, house payment, car payment, right up against it. And then, bang, the money would come in. And this happened over and over again. But sometimes he really took me to the extremity, what I would call the extremity. And I would, sometimes I admit, you've probably heard me admit this already, shake my fist at him and say, God, you can only push people so far before they crack. And I've had two or three crises over the last 20 years when I've actually quit this job. And my fantasy has been to drive a truck. Now, this is my fantasy job. Drive a truck. It's like, you mean you're actually going to pay me to just keep this thing between these two lines and I take it from point A to point B and you're going to pay me for that? It's like, I don't have to think. I don't have to be persecuted. Nobody asks me, why are you driving a truck? So my other fantasy is to like work a cleaning job at in the afternoon shift or midnight at an office complex. Everybody's gone from the office, and I'm in there cleaning toilets, sweeping floors. I fantasize about that. That'd be a dream job for me because this job is so mentally stressful. I never put it down, can never put it down, really. And so God puts that flagstone down right before you take the step. In other words, I don't look out and see, and you don't either. You don't either. You don't look out and see a yellow brick road that extends all the way to Oz, a paved highway, and you know how you're going to get there. You don't know how you're going to get there. And yet God tells you to step out by faith, and he says, walk. Start walking. Another great quote I read from the Reader's Digest was, if you jump off a cliff, you will build wings on the way down. In other words, you're not going to really do it until you have to do it. When you have to do it, you'll do it. That's why college kids cram for exams. Well, a lot of us do that. We procrastinate up until the very last moment, and then we work like a white tornado and get the job done. Why? Because a little bit of stress is good for you. This is actually what God does for us. He puts us in a little bit of stress, or a lot of stress, or an extremity. Like we're reading here in Ezekiel 37:11, our bones are dried up, our hope has perished, we're completely cut off. And no doubt Israel thought that when they were backed up against the Red Sea with the entire Egyptian army breathing down their necks. And God did the impossible. He parted the Red Sea and Israel went over it. And still, you know, they forgot about that. It's like, God, what have you done for us lately? They're hungry, they're thirsty in the wilderness. God, what have you done for us lately? Or brought you across the Red Sea? Yeah, that was 2 months ago. What have you done for us lately? So, you know, God is continuously proving himself to us. When are we going to come to the point? And I'm asking myself this as I ask you. When we rely on God's track record, he has a track record in our lives. He has done stuff. He's produced the goods time and time again. And even when these terrible things do happen, he's sown comfort in little shiny baubles of something into the black cloth. He has given you comfort. We used to live on a farm, and I used to love all the cats. We had stray cats, but I'm a sucker for animals, and I love dogs and cats and several of our cats used to get hit by cars, and I hated it. You know, I turned a corner and dread seeing it, and you know, it happened more frequently than I would like. But even in some of those agonizing moments, when a cat I was really fond of would be lying inert in the middle of the road, God mercifully granted to me that the body was not mangled, or it was, the cat was thrown to the side of the road. This is just a practical example of little things I notice that God did for me, that even in the hard things, there was mercy. And he doesn't spare us from hard things, but he's there with us. He knows when the sparrow falls. The sparrows do fall. People do die. Cats die. Loved ones die. Death is all around us. And yet, even in Winburn, Pennsylvania, when I'm walking or running above the hills there near the cemetery, and I look at those gravestones going off into the horizon, sometimes the sun is shining and you see a reflection of light off the tombstones. And there's always some little thing, if you look for it, there's some little mercy sewn in. I'll never forget, I was bicycling to my job at the post office in Willard, Ohio. This was 1989, 90. And I was bicycling during the winter, and it was just horrible. 11 miles to Willard from Greenwich. And I just remember seeing these dead animals on the road, and the weather was miserable, and I was just depressed. And I said, God, there's too much death in the world. There's too much crap. Where's the sun? And as I was riding and bitching along, I looked up and three ducks flew across the sky in formation. Three ducks. And I said this out loud. I said, all right, I'll give you another chance. Talking to God. All right, I'll give you another chance. God sent those ducks to tell me that the universe is in order. I'm in charge. I'm setting up a contrast for the glory. And part of that contrast is the overcast sky. Part of that contrast is the dead animals on the road. But don't think for a second I'm not with you in this. Don't think for a second that I'm not going to back you up against a wall and make things look impossible. But Martin, look at my track record. Not only in your life, but look what I've done with Israel. I backed her up and backed her up, and every time I delivered her, I backed up my people. I backed up Abraham. I backed up Joseph. I backed them all up against the wall. And I delivered on my promises, because I always do. I always do. And I don't want you today to doubt God's promises. Israel doubted him. And I know sometimes you'll shake your fist at him like I do, but you have to know. You have to know that that's really not a bad place to be. If you can't tell your father what's happening to you, who can you tell? It's not a bad place to be. Vent your complaint. That's what Job did. And Elihu said concerning Job that he had not sinned. Tell your father what's happening to you. He is dependable. He has a track record. Look what he's done in the scriptures. Look what he's done in your life. And put your trust, your confidence in him.